I found it happen a few times. I've prepared a sermon for a specific Sunday, and something happens during the week, or God decides to change the direction of things, and that's what he's done this week. I'm still going to be looking at Joshua 4, but just some other things that God's put in my heart this week. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, we come to you today grateful that your word speaks truth to us. Lord, we thank you that you are the standard. As times change, as people change, we know that you don't change. And your word speaks truth. And may we always be faithful to your word. And pray that you would be honored in this time that we have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This weekend, we focus on remembering. And it's important to remember. We live in a society where we're always looking ahead to the next thing, the newest gadget, the next thing to come out. We're looking forward all the time, but it's important to remember what's gone in the past. And I'd like to share something I found this week that goes back to the founding of our nation. And it has to do with the signers of the Declaration of Independence. 17 signers fought in the American Revolution, including John Hancock from Massachusetts. The British captured 5 signers during the war. Edward Rutledge, Thomas Heywood, Arthur Middleton were captured at the Battle of Charleston in 1780. George Walton was wounded and captured at the Battle of Savannah. Richard Stockton of New Jersey never recovered from his incarceration at the hands of British loyalists. He died in 1781. John Adams was forced to move his family 5 times because he was, as he said, being hunted like a fox. 11 signers had their homes and property destroyed. Francis Lewis's New York home was razed and his wife taken prisoner. John Hart's farm and mills were destroyed when the British invaded New Jersey, and he died while fleeing capture. Carter Braxton and Nelson, both of Virginia, lent large sums of their personal fortunes to support the war effort but were never repaid. And the list goes on to the soldiers, the people who fought in the war, the people who fought in later wars in 1812 and the Civil War and up into the 20th century and the wars that we've had over the last 50 to 80 years that we have many veterans here with us today and to give us this freedom that we have. And I think about this freedom and I think that I can get up here every Sunday and I could get up here today and say something totally ridiculous. Hopefully I don't. Disrespectful to our nation. I could lie, and I'm free to do that. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm free to do it. We're free to say what we want because we have that freedom of speech, that freedom to assemble, and we're so thankful for it. And we remember what people have done to get us to this point. But remembering is actually something that goes back to the Bible. Because the people of Israel were encouraged to remember what God had done. And I'd like to read to you today from Joshua chapter 4. And just to give you a little bit of background here, we're going through the book of Exodus every week in our sermon series. And Exodus is about the people of Israel being taken out of slavery in Egypt and going through the promised land. The book of Joshua is about going into the promised land. And you may or not have been aware, but you always hear about the parting of the Red Sea, and Moses took the people through the Red Sea. That's the one you see in the movie. Well, the people also went through a sea. They went through the Jordan River to get into the promised land, and the sea parted for Joshua, pointing to the fact of this. It wasn't Moses that did it, and it wasn't Joshua that did it. It was God that did it both times. And I'd like to read to you from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. It says this, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on the shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So they did that. They took the stones on their shoulder from right in the middle of the river where they walked through, and they built a monument, 12 stones, each representing the 12 tribes of Israel, so that when people came back, they would look at that monument, and they would say, that's what the Lord did for us. They were supposed to tell their children, this is what the Lord did. The Lord took the people into the promised land. And if you read the Bible and then you read, continue to read the New Testament, there's always that metaphor for crossing the Jordan and going into the promised land, for dying and going to heaven. You have that metaphor. Remember. And then we come into New Testament times, and Jesus tells us to remember. He says, do this in remembrance of me. What's he talking about? Communion. He's talking about the body and the blood that we celebrate. We'll celebrate next week. The bread and the cup represent the body and blood of Christ. And we are to remember what Jesus did for us. Jesus changes lives. And we remember that. And as we come here today, this is the part that I just totally changed, because I got to tell you, Bill's on my mind, and I know he's on your mind, and I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about what God did in Bill's life. And it says in 1 Peter 2:5, as you come to him, meaning Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So I want you to think about that. We are stones. We are living stones. We are living, walking monuments of what God has done in our lives. Right? We are to reflect that to the world. And I think about that as I think about Bill. Some of you may know in his younger years, you heard that, you know, he had issues with drinking and it was tough. But God helped him overcome that. God changed him. And he always goes back to Psalm 32. And you may have heard the story about how Bill, when he was a kid, told the new pastor in town who was from the city that he planted his peas upside down. And that wasn't true. And Bill got in trouble. And Bill had to work for the pastor that summer. And the pastor read to him and took him through Psalm 32. And Psalm 32 begins with this: blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You notice how it doesn't say, blessed is the one who works really hard and tries really hard to get to heaven and doesn't sin? No, it doesn't say that. It says, blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are forgiven. And that it takes humility to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need your help. That's what Bill did. His life was changed because of what God did. And that psalm, if you want to read that psalm, the whole thing, I'm not going to read it today. I want you to just think about that. Think about the fact that good people don't go to heaven because Jesus said no one is good. The Bible says forgiven people go to heaven. People who are willing to humble themselves before the Lord, put their faith in Christ, turn from their sins and believe in Jesus. If you've not ever done that, today's a great day to do it. And you can go to the place that Bill has already gone to ahead of us. But I'd like to give you some things that, some ways that God used Bill as a living stone, at least in my life, hopefully in your life too, as a monument to what God can do. My first recollection of Bill is when I came here. In a congregational church, if you're not familiar with it, you don't get appointed pastor. You come to the congregation, you meet with the pulpit committee, and what I did is I came here and I preached. And then I met with the pulpit committee in a back room back here, and Bill was one of the people in that room, and some of you others were in that room too. And I preached my sermon, I went to the back room, and Bill looked at me and he said, that was long. Okay, new pastor, fresh out of seminary. That hurts a little bit. Good to know for the future. It was interesting, the other day my dad was saying, my parents went to visit Bill, I think it was Thursday, the day before Bill went home to be with the Lord. And my dad is 88. And Bill, on their way out, as my dad was leaving, Bill said to him, I'll see you soon. So one of the things I learned from Bill is it's important to speak the truth. And that's what Bill did. Bill spoke the truth, and sometimes he said the things that no one else wanted to say or had the guts to say. And you need to have people like that, and we all need to do that at times. The Bible says to speak the truth. It says speak the truth in love. And I'm confident whenever Bill spoke to me, whether it was something that was positive or something that was a challenge, it came out of love. That was the reason he spoke it to me. So that's one way that Bill was a living stone, a living monument to what God can do in a person's life. I also remember very early on in my ministry here, preaching sermons, and after each service, Bill would come up to me, he would shake my hand, he would look me in the eye, and he would say, "That was a wonderful sermon." And there were days when he was the only one who said that. And I'm not sure that was true at the time, actually, if it was a wonderful sermon or not. But I'm going to tell you, that was important to me. After you've been a pastor a while, you just forget and stop listening to what people say to you anyway, because it goes to your head and all that stuff. But at that point in my life, Bill was such a great encouragement to me as a young pastor coming into ministry, and I'm so thankful for that. And, you know, whenever I preached on a passage of the Bible, going through the book of Acts, you read about a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas means son of encouragement. That was not his real name. That was a nickname given to him because he encouraged people, because he built people up. And I think about what it says in Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. We are to be encouragers. You've heard me say it many times that a person needs 10 attaboys for every you jerk. It's true. It's true. We need to be built up because those little you jerk statements knock us down a fair amount. Bill was an encourager to me. He was also a giver. And so is Marcia, by the way. A lot of this goes together with Marcia. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And as I think about early on in my ministry here, I had a young family, had a six-month-old when we first got here, and there were times when financially times were tough, and Bill and Marsh were always there to help us out. Bill would shake my hand, and there would be a bill in that hand, whatever amount it was. I remember one time I had taken my car into Rick's Auto up the street, and Rick called me and said, "The car's ready," and I said, "How much do I owe you?" He said, "Nothing, it's free, it's been paid for." I think that was Bill and Marcia. I'm pretty sure. She's nodding. She knows. Because shortly after that, Bill said, "If you ever have car trouble, take it to my mechanic. We'll do it for free." These little things that just added up to be such a big thing for me and for my family. We're so thankful. For a lot of reasons, I'm not sure I would have lasted here without Bill and Marcia, without their support and their encouragement in so many different ways. Another thing about Bill, and this is the last thing I'm going to talk about, is the fact that some people are talkers and others are doers. Bill was a doer. And it says in James chapter 2, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? If you have real faith and real love, you will act on it. I always tell people, love isn't just an emotion. Love is an action. It's a verb. It's something that you do. I think of military men and women who go overseas and serve this country. That's an act of love. Love of their country, love of the rest of us, so that we can remain living in this free and wonderful country. Love is an action. And as I think about Bill, if anyone ever mentioned anything that they needed, man, it was done. Andy mentioned the wood. It was done. The roof on this building, Bill was behind that. I remember one time when we were still living down in the parsonage, we had our laundry set up in the basement, and we had this little issue with garter snakes coming in. Some of you don't mind snakes. Others of you will leave and go to another country if you find out there's a snake near you. My wife is one of those people. And I remember coming to Bill and saying, Bill, we got this snake problem. I'm not sure how much longer Christy's going to last in that parsonage. And a little while later, Kevin finished our bathroom upstairs, and there was a washer-dryer put in upstairs. Just something like that, just something that you mentioned in passing, and then it's just done. Bill was a doer. And Bill said something a couple weeks ago when we had communion with him that last time. He said, love is everything. And you know, when I was in seminary, I learned a lot of things about the Bible. I learned Greek and Hebrew, and I learned a lot of passages in the Bible. But I'm not sure anyone ever taught love better than Bill with his actions. Praise God, you can clap. It's okay. So I just like to finish up here. And when a pastor says that, it really means nothing. Just like to finish up here. I don't know how long I'm going to go. From Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, obviously, is the next chapter after chapter 11. Chapter 11 is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And it's about all the people that faithfully stepped out and served God. And chapter 12 begins with this. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before us. Now we add Bill to that list. He says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, the point is this. We're surrounded by all these people who have faithfully followed Jesus. Let's follow their example. And more importantly, let's follow Christ. Let's do what Bill did and point to Jesus. Turn your life around and follow Jesus. Look at his example. Look to him for faith. Look to him as your Lord and Savior. And live out that life of faith and love and be a living monument to what God has done to everybody around you. Praise God for what he did in Bill Foster's life, and praise God for what he does in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the gift of life. I thank you that we can get up in the morning and breathe and walk and eat, work and do the things that you've called us to do. Lord, I thank you for Bill's life and the legacy that he leaves. And most of all, I thank you for Jesus, who died and rose again so that we can live forever. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.